This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We are now, alhamdulillah, we have completed the month of Ramadan. We have, alhamdulillah, completed the fast, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of you and from myself our ibadah, our worship during this month, our fast. And I also I pray that all of you had a blessed Eid with your friends and your families and your loved ones, and we pray that it was a time of also nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembrance. We're all in sort of the same boat in that we go in the month of Ramadan. We feel this surge oftentimes of our nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is due to some very rigorous sort of routine that we keep in terms of our ibadah, in terms of our worship. And then many of us feel that we lose a lot of that once Ramadan is over, and it starts as soon as Eid, subhanAllah. A lot of times, yesterday we may have been praying Taraweeh, and then today is Eid, and we miss our Fard Salah. And this is, something that we really have to struggle against, this complete drop that happens after the month of Ramadan. We went from fasting and praying and reading Quran and extra prayers and dhikr and repentance, to barely making our prayers on time. And this is exactly what today's show is about. How do we prevent that from happening? And how do we try to continue some of the momentum that we built during the month of Ramadan after the month of Ramadan has passed? And some reflections on the fact of Ramadan passing so quickly. One thing that you'll always find people saying is this statement across the board. Is this statement that Ramadan went so quickly? We feel the how quickly Ramadan goes by, and yet even in this is a sign for us. Even in the fact that Ramadan did feel like it passed so quickly, like it did pass so quickly, in that is a sign for us that our life will also pass quickly. And we started Ramadan, it feels like yesterday, and here we are today, and Eid is over, subhanAllah. And I think many people share that sentiment of how quickly it goes by. But we need to really stop and reflect about it, that this is a sign for us about the nature of this life in general. It's not just Ramadan that goes quickly, but this is the nature of dunya, that it goes quickly. We are born one day, and before you know it, you're in elementary school, and then you're in middle school, and then you're in high school, and subhanAllah, me personally, I look back and I still remember my first day in high school, and it just seems really very close. It doesn't seem as though that much time has gone by, and yet, subhanAllah, how quickly time really does go by in this life. This is a lesson for us. Do not procrastinate your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not go slowly in your journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he would say that he was rushing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the attitude that we need to have, is that we need to rush in this journey. We can't go slowly. We don't know when the journey ends, and the journey itself the path itself will end quickly before we know it. One of the things we have to do regularly is remember that we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to remember death. We need to remember that this life is just a very, very small stop on our path. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in a hadith, when he was asked, he used to sleep on date palms, and it would leave marks on him. And so when he was asked if they could make him a softer bed, his answer was, "Mali wa lid dunya, what do I have to do with this life? I'm like a passerby or a traveler who stops in the shade of a tree for a while and then continues on in his path. And that's exactly what this life is. It's just that stop in the shade of a tree for a while. When we're going on a journey, you know, a lot of times we will, if it's a longer journey, we'll stop along the way, and there's rest areas. You use the restroom, you get food, and it's a rest area, it's a stop. But when you stop at those places, nobody, you know, all of a sudden forgets where they're going and starts to just become very comfortable at the rest area because they know that it's temporary. They know that it's just a stop. We're just here. We have a certain purpose. Maybe we're getting food. Maybe we're using the restroom, we're going to make wudu and pray. And we know that we have a certain purpose, and then we're going to continue on our journey. But we always keep in mind what is our destination. And that destination is what keeps us going. And our destination is what keeps us from getting too attached to the rest area, getting too attached to the short stop. This is what we do in this life, is we know the rest area is just a stop, and we see it for what it is, and we use it for what it is. We do what we need to do, and we continue on our journey in our vehicle. And yet, subhanAllah, as human beings, this rest area of dunya, this temporary stop, has become, we've forgotten. It's as though a person in this journey stops at the rest area and gets out of the car and then suddenly has amnesia and forgets that actually this isn't their home, that actually this wasn't the final destination, and it was just a stop. And that's what many, many, many of us, that's our human condition in this life, is we've gotten that, we suffer from that sort of amnesia. We're here in dunya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this dunya is just a short mata, this is just a short time of you know, enjoyment. It's just a resource for us, and yet we forget. And we forget that, and we have this sort of amnesia, and we forget where we're going. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us again and again to remind us that this life is very, very short, and that when we look back at this life, when we're asked, you know, we ask one another, Allah tells us on the Day of Judgment that we ask one another, how long were you in that life, or how long were we there? And the answer is yawman aw ba'da yawm, a day or part of a day. This is the answer that we're going to give, you and I, because it looks so short when you look back at it. But when we're in that rest area, we just forget. We forget that it's just a stop, and we get so attached to it. And it's very difficult when you're in the moment to see that reality. But in order to see that reality, you have to step back and you have to widen your lens and to understand that, you know, it's like, again, it's this very narrow lens that we have. Oh, I'm at a rest area. Okay, there's some grass here. There's a restaurant there. Oh, this must be my home. Let's get comfortable. And that's how we act with this life, with this world, with dunya. But it isn't our home, and it isn't the final destination. It is just a stop. And we need to treat it as such in the way that we live, and in the way we interact with dunya and everything that hits us in this life. It is very difficult when you're in a stressful situation. It is very difficult. You know, I think that, subhanAllah, during the month of Ramadan, we have constant reminders of this reality, that we have a goal and we have a final destination. This constant reminders. You know, you get hungry and you're reminded, wait, I can't eat. Wait, what, but why? Why can't I eat? Well, I can't eat because I'm fasting. Well, why am I fasting? I'm fasting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me that if I fast, I will be rewarded. I will be rewarded when? Well, I'll be rewarded twice. At the time I break my fast, and at the time when I meet my Creator. So we have this constant reminder. We're reminded because we're going for Taraweeh. We're praying more. We're reading more Quran. We're praying in the last third of the night. We're hearing more, you know, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're purifying ourselves, trying to stay away from the bad habits, trying to, you know, not to lie or to swear. You know, we're constantly being reminded of our final destination. And then as soon as Ramadan ends, it becomes more difficult because we've removed many of those reminders, and it becomes much easier to lose track of what we're doing, to lose track of where we're going. And we start to then again become consumed by this rest stop, by this stop in the shade of a tree for a while. And we start to, you know, just get so caught up in it that we actually forget where we were going. And that is what we have to prevent. That is what we have to struggle against. Once, you know, Ramadan is over, now that Ramadan is over, this is the struggle that you and I have to engage in, is that struggle to keep focused, on our final destination and to not get distracted by all those things that distracted us before Ramadan. We need to leave Ramadan changed. Otherwise, it really defeats the purpose. It isn't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking us to just be hungry and thirsty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to change us, to transform us, to purify us through these rituals that we did, through this worship. It isn't just going through the motions, but we're supposed to be changed. We're supposed to do something differently. And so we really need to make the conscious decision to stay focused and to hold on to those habits, those good habits which we have developed in Ramadan. Take some of those habits, whether it's, you know, your daily recitation of the Quran, or your prayer in the last third of the night, or your extra prayers, or your fasting. We still have the fast of Monday and Thursday according to the Sunnah. Hold on to something from that and be consistent in it. The Prophet ﷺ told us that an action that is consistent, even if it's small, is more beloved than an inconsistent action, even if it's considered a bigger action. That those actions are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are consistent, even if they're small actions. So find something that you were doing in Ramadan, or if you weren't doing it in Ramadan, start to do it. But find something which is an act that you can be consistent in, and in that way, be able to build that path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make that focus stronger towards your final destination. One advice that I can give to you and to myself, never let go of your salah. Your salah is the foundation of this path. Absolutely the foundation of this path. Your salah must be in order if we are to be successful in this life or the next. And that's something which we know from many, many texts, from the Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the very first thing we will be asked about on the Day of Judgment is our prayers, is our salah. And if that is in order, then everything else, that person will have succeeded. And if that is not in order, then that person will have failed. And, you know, so nothing else is really going to matter if our salah is not in order. In order to be successful in this life and in the next, in order to stay focused on our end and our final destination, we have to make sure that the salah is the foundation of our day. And it's amazing when you reflect on Ramadan. What made Ramadan different than the rest of the year? Well, for one, our day was focused around the salah. For example, Maghrib time, right? Everything revolved around Maghrib time. Why? Because that's when we got to eat. So everything was now, okay, we'll do it before Maghrib or we'll do it after Maghrib. We'll wait for Maghrib and then we'll do X, Y, and Z. Or we'll do it before Maghrib. Basically, what we're doing is we now are reorganizing our day to be centered around the prayer. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But unfortunately, it only happens that way often in Ramadan, because that's when we can eat. But it's to train us. This is part of our training. It's to train us that this is the way we're supposed to be organizing our day the rest of the year as well. This is the way we're supposed to be seeing our day. But even at a deeper level, this is the way we're supposed to be seeing our entire life. That our life revolves around ibadah. Our life revolves around our commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our relationship with Him. So everything else we're planning should be focused in the same way, around the salah, around my obligations to my creator, around my relationship with my creator. And then I'll fit the rest of the things in, right? And that's the same focus we should have outside of Ramadan. Similarly, we need to stay connected to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan was the, you know, it's the month of the Quran. And unfortunately, what happens is we open our Quran in Ramadan, and oftentimes we might read it cover to cover in this month. And then Ramadan passes and we close our Quran and it stays closed. That's a problem. This is like a person who decides that they're going to eat a good amount for 2 weeks. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then not eat for, you know, an extended period of time. It doesn't work. The body cannot survive in that way. And in the same way, the heart cannot survive in that way. The heart needs food, just like the body needs food. We feed our hearts, walillahil hamd, during the month of Ramadan. We feed our hearts the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're connecting to the Quran daily. Right? Either we're reading it, we're hearing it in Taraweeh, it's everywhere, it surrounds us. And we're feeding our hearts daily. And then after that, we starve our hearts. But just the same way that the body dies if you don't feed it, the heart also dies if you don't feed it. So we must continue this connection with the Quran. We must continue to feed our hearts. Connect with the Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make that be part of your post-Ramadan commitment, that you will continue to read and reflect on this book. It is not just a book that was intended to be read during the month of Ramadan in Taraweeh. It is not just a book that was intended to decorate walls, you know, on pretty, with very nice calligraphy. It was not just a book that was intended to be put on necklaces or for protection. This is a book that was intended to transform our hearts. It was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This message, as the Quran tells us, this message, the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent in order to purify us, to teach us this book and to purify us. We need to continue in this path of purification. We need to continue in this struggle. Do not give it up because the month of Ramadan is over, because this path is still going, right? We're not there yet. We have to understand that we're not there yet. And what we seek is still beyond, as the Sheikh said, that thing that we seek is, we will never get there until we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to keep going. And I encourage you and myself to keep going and to keep on this, you know, this momentum that we have. Alhamdulillah, gained through Ramadan. Ramadan was your training. Ramadan was my training. And now we need to keep going and continue to feed yourself. Don't cut off that food to your heart. Otherwise, then, you know, few weeks down the line, we ask ourselves, wait, but how did I get here? I used to be, you know, this close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan, and then somehow now I feel so distant. Well, we shouldn't wonder why that's the case. Nobody would wonder why a heart or why their body would start to become weak and then eventually die if they starved it. You know, that it's a known thing. If you don't feed your body, first it will become weak and sick, and then eventually the body dies if it's starved for long enough. And this is the same with the heart. But I want to give hope, inshallah, to you and to myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings life even back to the dead. Allah tells us that He brings back the dead land, the dead earth from its death. In the winter, the ground, the trees, they die. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them back in the spring. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after we pass away, Allah also brings us back. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring back the dead hearts in this life. If our heart has not been shaken or awakened by the month of Ramadan, till this point, Allah can still bring that heart back to life. We can still come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people, they leave Ramadan and they feel very sad for a number of reasons. Sometimes we feel sad because we miss it, right? We miss what we had. We miss that nearness. And sometimes people feel sad because they feel that they had not fully taken advantage of this month. For whatever reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can continue to give you. And even if you were among those who lost out, who did not fully take advantage of the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can always give you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can even bring life to the dead hearts, just as He brings life to the dead land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Jabbar. He is the one who mends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can mend any situation, and it's never too late to come back to Allah. Remember that Allah is the most generous. We cannot limit the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just to the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is infinite, and Allah is Al-Kareem. Allah loves to give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wahhab, the one who loves to give gifts. Allah can give you any time. So never lose hope because, oh, the month of Ramadan is over now, I didn't take advantage. Or the month of Ramadan is over now, now I can't, you know, gather those good deeds anymore or as much. Allah is Al-Kareem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can increase you at any time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the one who can give life to the dead land and to the dead hearts. Inshallah, we will take a short break now. And when we return, we will be speaking some more about how do we continue to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will be speaking, inshallah, Amr Sulaiman, Sheikh Amr Sulaiman will be coming on shortly. Assalamu alaikum, this is Yasmin Mujahid and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. I'd like to wish you all a belated Eid Mubarak, and I pray that your Ramadan was beneficial, and inshallah it was a time of purification and transformation. And that's what we're speaking about today. How do we continue that momentum? How do we use whatever we gained during the month of Ramadan to take us through not just the rest of the year, but the rest of our path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's what we have to realize, is this is a path. This is a whole journey. It does not end here, does not end at the end of Ramadan, but it ends when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to keep going and never lose hope. Just because Ramadan is over does not mean that we cannot continue to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek that reward from Allah. This is our opportunity. This is our opportunity to continue to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to rush towards Allah. Allah tells us in the Hadith Qudsi that whoever takes one step towards Him, Allah takes 10 steps towards them. So if we take one step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will take 10 towards us. And the one who comes towards Allah walking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes towards them with speed. This is what we have to do. Especially now that the month of Ramadan is over, we can't give up this struggle. We may have to work harder. We may have to, it may be more of an uphill battle because everyone around us isn't necessarily doing the same thing anymore. There aren't numerous pushes and reminders, but this is part of this path, that this struggle to keep our hearts focused on the final destination and to keep going. Practically, we need to make certain commitments to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to ourselves of continuing those practices, continuing those habits that we developed in the month of Ramadan after the month of Ramadan is passed. And we need to continue those things that we were doing. And just even if we just choose a couple of them, we've mentioned again that it's about consistency and not necessarily about how big the action is, but it's about consistency. We need to be consistent even if that action is small. Just choose some things you were doing. Continue those good habits, whether it was reading Quran regularly, praying in the last third of the night, fasting, Mondays and Thursdays, fasting the 6 days after, many things that we can do to continue that momentum. And continuing to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to seek His pleasure. Now is the time that we have to really start running and continue that momentum and that fuel that inshallah we did gain during the month of Ramadan. And then secondly, it is very important that whatever habits, whatever bad habits we gave up during the month of Ramadan, let's continue to give those up. If we gave up smoking, if we gave up swearing, if we gave up lying, if we gave up, certain haram relationship. Sometimes I see people people tell me that they may have a relationship with the, you know, that isn't pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they kind of take a break for Ramadan, and then they continue and resume. And that isn't the point. The point is not just we take these, you know, breaks from certain haram actions and then return to it. Because we will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state that we are in when we die. And no one knows when death will come to them. Death can come any time to us, and it will be our state at the time of death that will determine how we are when we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and where we end up. And so we have to be very, very careful. Ramadan is not about giving things up and then picking them up again at the end. It's about purifying us so that we can take this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we meet Allah, meet Him with a heart that is sound, with a qalb that is salim. And that's what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do and to help us to do, inshallah. Inshallah, now I want to give you a little bit of exciting information about a project that Sheikh Omar Sulaiman is launching. The website is www.ilmflix.com. That's spelled ilmflix.com. ilmflix.com. And this is a massive project by the Islamic Learning Foundation to produce high-definition videos, audio, transcription, and quality productions of many classical books in English. And Sheikh Omar is doing an entire thematic tafsir of the Quran, and also covering the entire 23-volume work of Imam al-Dhahabi, of all the companions and scholars that lived up to the 13th century, which has never been done in the English language before. Inshallah, you can attend these live weekly classes with him and also contribute to the publication by signing up for an Ilm Flix membership. Again, that website is ilmflix.com, and inshallah we will be posting that in the chat box. Check that out. Subhanallah, I had the privilege of attending Sheikh Omar's classes in the past. Some of his tafsir, and subhanallah, it was one of those things you look forward to. You get to go online, from the comfort of your own home, and you get to interact in the sense of, this is a live instructor. He takes questions, and it's something that really, subhanAllah, you'll find very beneficial. MashaAllah, he's one of those shuyukh who we have, which is, it's very hard to find the balance, mashallah, that Sheikh Omar presents, the balance of the scholarship and the fiqh, as well as the spirituality based on the Quran and Sunnah. And mashallah, I really, really highly recommend these classes. Inshallah, do sign up for ilmflix.com. And inshallah, we will just take another very short break now. And when we return, we will be with Sheikh Omar Sulaiman. غرباء غرباء غرباء. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity on One Legacy Radio. We are very happy and excited to have Sheikh Omar Sulaiman with us today. Sheikh Omar has two bachelor's degrees in Islamic studies and in accounting. He studied in the UAE under Ustaz Tariq Rajah and in Jordan under Sheikh Omar Sulaiman Al-Ashqar. Since 2008, Sheikh Omar has been under the tutelage of Sheikh Salah Al-Sawi and Dr. Hatim Al-Hajj. He is an instructor with Al-Maghrib Institute and Islamic Learning Foundation, as well as Al-Mishkah University, and is also a member of the ICNA Sharia Council. Sheikh Omar worked for ICNA Relief in Hurricane Katrina and ICNA Relief Louisiana. He was also an imam of Masjid Abu Bakr in New Orleans, and he was awarded for outstanding civic achievement by the Major and City Council of New Orleans in 2010. He is currently teaching and is in his master's program of Islamic finance with the Institute of Islamic Finance in the UK, and will be pursuing his PhD in Islamic studies from Malaysia in the fall this year, inshallah. Welcome, Sheikh Omar Sulaiman. And we are very pleased to have you. A belated Ramadan Mubarak and Eid Kareem. Ramadan Mubarak. So we are talking today about a topic which is extremely important to every single believer, and that is the topic of pursuing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we think that certain parts of the message or certain parts of the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only apply to maybe certain times and places. But this is actually, this is something that is absolutely timeless. And can you talk, to begin with, why is it important that we understand the need for seeking the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter where we are or when we live?
Well, I think the first thing is that, the point of rehab is not to be off of drugs while you're in rehab, but it's to be sober when you get out. And that's exactly what Ramadan is. It's a chance to rehab. It is a chance to really get ourselves back. It's a chance to refocus, re-energize. And likewise, when we go to the masjid or when we're in an Islamic setting, it's really a very powerful quote, just to kind of understand this, from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was known for being an overzealous youth in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually had to tone it down for him because he was reading too much Quran, praying too much at night and fasting too much, to a point that he was actually becoming neglectful of his family. And he said, after the Prophet ﷺ passed away, he said, لَخَيْرٌ أَعْمَلُهُ الْيَوْمَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ مِتْقَيْهِ مَعْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ ﷺ, that for me to be able to do a good deed today after the death of the Prophet ﷺ is twice as beloved to me as when the Prophet ﷺ was alive. And he says, لِأَنَّ كُنَّ مَعْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ ﷺ يَحِمُّنَ الْآخِرَ وَلَا تَحِمُّنَ الدُّنْيَا, that when the Prophet ﷺ was with us, we didn't care about dunya. All we cared about was akhirah. So it was kind of easy to be religious when the Prophet ﷺ was there. It was easy to do good deeds. But the real challenge was after the Prophet ﷺ departed. And so that shows us again, being outside of an Islamic setting, being able to hold on to your iman outside of the masjid, outside of Ramadan, is really the true test of faith, the true, a true indication that a person is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, seeking His love, and is determined to do so no matter where he is and when, whenever it is during the year or during the week. I mean, it's not just Friday. So you're not a Friday Muslim, you're not a Ramadan Muslim, you're not a Eid Muslim, you're none of those things. You're just Muslim, and you're always in that state. You're always in the zone.
Okay, Jazakallah khair. I mean, I think one of the frustrations that a lot of people share is, I feel like this surge of iman, this nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when during Ramadan, and then as soon as Ramadan is over, I lose that. And what would you say to those people, and how can they maintain that same level or try to maintain that same level after Ramadan has passed?
Well, the idea here is that, number one, what we need to look at is that with Ramadan, and in fact with Tawbah, the main point is that we abandon the things that are between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obstacles between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Salaf used to say, لَيْسَ الْخَائِفُ مَنْ يَبْكِي وَيَمْسَحُ عَيْنَيْهِ وَلَكِنَ الْخَائِفُ مَنْ يَتْرُكُ مَا يَخَافُ وَنْ يَحَاسِبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, that, a person who truly fears Allah is not one who cries and then wipes his tears, but rather a person who abandons that which he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him to account for. So our tears should not be a form of consuming our energy so that we can feel like we've arrived, we've got there. And that's what happens sometimes with our good deeds. The good feeling that we get sometimes after doing a good deed is not the feeling that we've pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's just the natural consequence of doing something good. And likewise, when we make tawbah sometimes, the tawbah might not be completely sincere, because in reality, we're just, it's like you got your crying session out of the way. It was a way of consuming your energy, but at the same time, it also demonstrates a lack of priority. So Ramadan is a turning point. Tawbah is a turning point. So the idea is that with any good deed, the indication of its acceptance, as the Imam al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, whether you're talking about Hajj or whether you're talking about Ramadan or Salah, is the continuation of it. Now, of course, that you might be thinking that, well, that's not very practical. So what I would say, in terms of practicality, is that there is no way to maintain the same level that you had in Ramadan. It's absolutely impossible. But just like dieting doesn't work, crack ibadah won't work. Okay, it's not, you can't just go all in, go all out. What you're trying to do in Ramadan is you're trying to establish good habits. Now that Ramadan is over, what you need to think to yourself is, I was able to pray 8 rak'ahs or 20 rak'ahs or whatever every single night. So why can't I go to Salat al-Isha and Jama'ah? Or why can't I just pray 2 rak'ahs of Qiyam now? Because that's enough, as the Prophet ﷺ authentically said, من قام بعشر آيات لم يكتب من الغافلين, that whoever stands up with just praying 10, with 10 ayat, 2 rak'ahs, read Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas every single night, he would not be written amongst those who are heedless. That's a very powerful hadith, because it shows you it's a very small action. But if a person prays 2 rak'ahs every night of the year, as opposed to not praying, as opposed to a person who doesn't pray any qiyam throughout the year, but just prays, 8 rak'ahs of tarawih or 20 rak'ahs of tarawih even every day in the month of Ramadan, it still would not be equivalent to the blessing or the virtue of those 2 rak'ahs of qiyam and then. Also, we find some ahadith that show us that some of the rewards that we get, you look at, for example, the 6 days of Shawwal, they're truly continuation. The Prophet ﷺ, as we all know, he said, whoever fasts, the month of Ramadan and then follows it with 6 of Shawwal. And in the Maliki Madhab, Imam Malik rahimahullah had a very strong point where he said, from a linguistic perspective, the Prophet ﷺ meant starting from Shawwal, not within Shawwal itself, but rather, he fasted 6 days to accompany his Ramadan. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that it would be like he fasted the entire year, because al-hasanatu bi'ashri amthaliha, every good deed is multiplied by 10. The Prophet ﷺ also said in Sahih Muslim, it is like siyami dahr, which means the fasting of a lifetime, because the minimum of a good deed is that it'll be multiplied by 10. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could multiply by much more than that. So you have to ask yourself, I'm in the habit of fasting now anyway, why not start taking fasting Mondays and Thursdays? And combine the intention, because voluntary deeds can have, and I know I'm probably getting into too many topics right now, but voluntary deeds can have multiple intentions. So a person could say, I'm going to fast the 6 days of Shawwal as Mondays and Thursdays and make this my habit, and get the deed for both fasting Monday and Thursday and for fasting the 6 of Shawwal, and continue with that. Continue with 2 rak'ahs of Qiyam al-Layl. Continue with some form of recitation of Qur'an in the day. You're not going to be able to maintain the same level, and I think that's why people get so disappointed, because when they come out of Ramadan, obviously on Eid, we party hard on Eid. Unfortunately, sometimes we party too much, and our Eid celebrations look like a welcome back shaitan party, we get very relaxed on Eid, including myself. We go on a family vacation every single Eid. People tend to relax on Eid, and that's okay. But I think sometimes people get depressed, like, wow, yesterday I was praying tarawih, I was reading Quran, now look at me, I'm not fasting, I'm pigging out, I'm not watching my appetite, I'm barely catching my salah. What happened? And the idea is to set an expectation for yourself that is reasonable while you're still in Ramadan or right after Ramadan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala essentially just exposed my potential. He really did just expose me. Because now when I make the excuse that I don't have time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could say, you do have time. You had time in Ramadan. Why don't you have time now? So, that's the way we should be thinking, is what can I do now? So Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that the Prophet said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the small ones, even if they're consistent. Just from, a practicality standpoint, it's just like, a person who crash diet usually gains back the weight that they lost and more, because they set an unreasonable expectation for themselves. And sometimes we read about the stories of the Salaf, that they considered a person who doesn't finish the Quran every month to be a hypocrite. And we get scared, and rightfully so. But before I can get there, I need to at least be making sure I'm reading, for example, 3-4 pages of Quran a day. There's some form of Quran in my life, and inshallah, I'll get there. We don't want to despair, because our lives don't have as much barakah as the lives of the Salaf do. But, it's all about consistency. It's all about maintaining a steady program, a steady, disciplined wird, you know, for yourself that's in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Alayhi salatu wasalam. Jazakallah khair. And you bring up a lot of really great points there. One of them, you know, talking about the consistent actions, even if they're small, and how, for example, praying just 2 rak'ahs of qiyam can be more, you know, beneficial than praying 20 during Ramadan and not praying during the rest of the year. And you know, when we look at like the physical reality, we see this rule in the physical world. For example, somebody who wants to get in shape, someone who wants to tone their body, you know, when they go to work out, we know, for example, that a person who goes and, you know, say they want to, you know, flatten their stomach, they want to do sit-ups. If you do, you know, 500 sit-ups one day and then you don't do any sit-ups for 2 weeks, that's going to be a lot less beneficial than if you're doing just a few each day. And I think it's, you know, subhanAllah, it's the same. The same one who designed the physical world designed the unseen world, and it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed both. But we see one and we understand it, and we forget, subhanAllah, you know, with the unseen world that it has the same rules apply.
And absolutely. And actually, Imam al-Qayyim Allah said exactly that. Tarbiyat al-ruh ka tarbiyat al-jasad. It is the exact same tarbiyat, the way that you get your body in shape is the same way you get your soul in shape, with taking small calculated steps. And subhanAllah, I remember coming across an article recently that showed the biggest loser. You know, people lose, you know, a ton of weight through this intense, you know, camp that most of them have gained back their weight. Most of them are unhealthy now and back to step one, you know, square one. That's what Shaitan wants you to do. You know, he wants you, and that not only do you not do any more good deeds, but you actually despair. And Shaitan's goal is to make you despair so that you just stop trying, you know, because I've been there, I tried that, it didn't work. And the Prophet said, that everything has its maximum output and everything has its normal course. Everything has its, you know, its peak and its downfall. So it's high and its low points. And the Prophet said, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ شِرْوَتُهُ إِلَى سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَفْلَحْ, that whoever has his regimen, you know, according to my sunnah, then he's going to succeed. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ هَلَكَ, and whoever has it according to anything else will perish. He won't be able to keep it up. You know, you'll crash and burn, essentially. And subhanAllah, that's what we see happening in youth. You know, they get excited. You know, people jump in, and they try to do too much at one time, then they just stop everything altogether. So, absolutely. You know, it's the same thing. You know, the way that you would train your body is the same way to train the soul.
Yeah, absolutely, subhanAllah. And this is, you know, why I love Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah. You know, he talks about these issues and of the, you know, the soul, and explains it in a way that we can understand. You know, we can see the physical world, and a lot of times we understand that, and we don't see, for example, how it applies to the spiritual world. We, you know, in the example of, you know, maintaining our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or maintaining the heart, for example, you see that a person would never go days without eating, right? A person would never say that I don't need to eat today because I ate last week. And yet, you know, we do this with the soul. We do this with the heart. Like, with regards to remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we think that it's, like you said, there's the Jum'ah Muslims, or the Eid Muslims, or the Ramadan Muslims. Well, you know, it's just like that person who's like, well, it's not Friday, so I don't need to eat. You know, nobody says that. But subhanAllah, dhikr is the food of the heart.
Absolutely. And you know, the beauty of it is that you don't know which one of those good deeds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to accept. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that Allah has hidden two things within two. Allah has hidden his awliya amongst his servants, and Allah has hidden his pleasure amongst his good deeds. And what that means is that, for example, the awliya, you know, many times when we think of the awliya, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, you think of someone who's got a big turban, nice dope, you know, big beard, nice siwak, or if it's a sister that, you know, is subhanAllah, you know, always praying and never interacting with society and things of that sort. And you think of certain people, right? You get an image in your head, but the Prophet explained them as akhfiyat. They're these people that are hidden. You know, it could be that your everyday blue collar worker. You know, a person who's you know, who's an engineer, or you know, a mother who's at home, But subhanAllah, while she's doing her household duties, she's remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She has this special relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or that person who goes to work every day is making dhikr in his car, and he has a certain, you know, a character, subhanAllah, that just outshines all of the mashayikhs. You know, it's crazy, but those are really the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're these hidden gems, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained, or Ali radiallahu anhu said, the same thing is true for good deeds. That you do so many good deeds, and you don't know which one is going to be the one that gets you to Jannah. So for example, the Prophet mentioned to us that I saw a man strolling in Jannah because he removed something harmful from the road. Okay. Was this man someone who prayed? Absolutely, I'm sure he prayed. You know, it's obvious, you know, he's not going to get in without doing his basics and stuff like that. But it was that one moment, you know, just imagine that you're driving in your car one day and you see something on the road that could be harmful. And it's not the highway, you know, I don't want anyone to kill themselves, but, you know, it's a 30-mile-per-hour road or something, and there aren't many cars, and it's just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one else is in the car with you, and you make the intention to do that for the pleasure of Allah. No one sees you, you go and you take that out of the road. The Prophet said that's what got that man strolling in Jannah. He also said about Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that I heard your footsteps in Jannah. I heard your footsteps in Jannah ahead of me. So what is it that you do? Now we know the sacrifices and struggles Bilal radiallahu anhu made for this deen. But what was it that got him that maqam, that got him to that level? It was two rak'ahs that he used to pray every time he'd make wudu. That's it. Like, you don't know which one is going to get you to Jannah. You don't know which time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at you and smile, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, because of this, I'm going to show mercy upon my abd, and I'm going to enter him into my paradise. So, I mean, it's that's why you stay in hot pursuit, you know, and just like, you know, subhanAllah, I always give this example to the brothers, because we're kind of terrible with this sometimes when it comes to doing nice things for our spouses and things of that sort. You know, if a person was to give their spouse a large cash gift, you know, it won't be as beloved as, you know, something that was made with the hands and the heart was in it, you know, something that was unexpected, right? A surprise flowers, or you put together some, and we're not very artsy and crafty as men, but, you know, you put together something, you know, and you painted something or whatever it is, you know, something to show that you really love that person. That would only cost you about $30, but, you know, a person would appreciate it so much more because they would recognize the heart that was put into it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his ibad, he looks for those moments where a person truly does something just for Allah's sake, not in the public eye, you know, not in front of their own family members, but something that was just between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, okay, that's the deed. That's the one that's going to get you into Jannah. We see even the man who burned himself to ashes. I mean, this hadith is phenomenal to me, that, you know, Rasulullah ﷺ described a man who, at the time of his death, he told his children, you know, to burn me after I die, to cremate me, which is haram, it's a major sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises him on the day of judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya abdi lima fa'alta hadha, why did you do that? He says, Khashaytuka ya Rabb wa anta a'lam, I did it because I was afraid of you, O Allah, and you know best, meaning you know my heart, you know where my heart was when I did that. And Rasulullah ﷺ did not just say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Rasulullah ﷺ said, فَغَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ, meaning Allah granted him Jannah and forgiveness because of that deed. A haram action, a major sin, but Allah recognized his heart at that moment. Allah recognized his intention. So, you don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the whole Ramadan doesn't get accepted, but subhanAllah, something sincerely I do afterwards that would have stemmed from my tarbiyah in Ramadan, you know, is what gets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look upon this pitiful servant on that day and to smile and to say, this servant now will be entered into Jannah. I'm going to forgive him by my mercy.
Yeah, subhanAllah. And, you know, we never know what it could be. And part of, you know, that's really why we never lose hope. You know, sometimes you mentioned that when people, they find that they're not at the same level, you know, and that makes people become very, very disappointed, and it can make people lose hope and fall into despair. And I think that one of the main things we have to know is this concept of hope, that like you said, our state and our ibadah, our worship, is never going to be stable or constant. You know, as the hadith you mentioned tells us that there's the peak and then there's the dip. And whenever you feel that dip, we should realize that it's part of being a human, that we have those dips and not to lose hope. I know I have emphasized this in the past, that sometimes we take 2 steps forward, right? And then we end up taking 15 steps back. And what happens is that once we're taking those steps forward, we find ourselves going 1 step back and we just give up. So then it goes back to 15 steps back. So it's kind of like this, it's actually the despair that makes us fall further. And it's so important to really just emphasize the importance of hope and not giving up. Once you do, even if you do mess up, right? And you will mess up at one point or another. You won't always be at the same level. I love the hadith that where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was afraid that he had become a hypocrite along with another companion, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you were at this in the same state all the time, the angels would shake hands with you on the streets, and it just really brings that point home.
Absolutely, and subhanAllah, it's the fact that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu felt that way despite being sabaqan li kulli khayr, the one who was always at the forefront of every good deed. The fact that he felt that way, it shows you that's a man that's in love. You know, when someone's in love, they always feel like they're falling short. And it's and what we need to emphasize to our, not just to people, but I mean, of course, we speak first to ourselves, that it's good to feel like you're falling short. It's just not good to despair.
Right.
There's a difference between the two. The Sahaba and the Salaf, they feared hypocrisy, but that caused them to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't cause them to just, lay dead and just say it's over. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, feared hypocrisy more than any of us, but that caused him to stand up at night and pray more. That caused him to give more sadaqah. That caused him to do more good for the, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it should be a khashya, a comprehensive fear and love that motivates us, that doesn't deflate us. It keeps us moving forward. It doesn't make us think that it's all over.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Adam alayhi salam, you look at him and Iblis, right? They both sinned on the same day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is open to anyone. But Iblis, one of the meaning of his name, Ablasa, is that he despaired. The meaning of Ablasa is despair. And Shaytan, Shafara, means he dug himself deep into a hole. He dug himself deeper into the hole. Adam alayhi salam came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result of his fall, and he's in a better situation, as Imam al-Qayyim rahimahullah said. As a result of his tawbah, he actually enjoys a higher stature with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite having to suffer the consequences of that slip. And that's another issue, that sometimes people think that just because they're suffering the consequences of their sin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not forgiven them or accepted their tawbah. And that's not true. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purifying you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing you closer to Him. And it's important to never despair, never to feel like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shut the door upon us. As the poet used to say, a sha'ir, there was one sha'ir that said, هَلْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَتَى بَابَنَا وَتَرَبْنَا, has anyone ever come to our door and we turned him away? No one has ever come to the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and been turned away. It just does not happen. And to say that I tried and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept me would be assigning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an attribute that He has not assigned to Himself. And we cannot do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guidance to those who seek it. It just, people need to not be hasty. Just as, again, we look at the physical world, just as your body, you don't work out for 2 days and then expect to, to look like some magazine figure. I don't think you ever expect to look like that. It's healthy to look like that.
They don't look like
you
that.
Don't expect yeah. Well, that takes Photoshop too, but I mean,
right.
you don't expect after a week of working out that your whole life is going to change, your cholesterol is going to go down completely, and all of a sudden you'll have a flat belly and everything will be okay. It takes time, and that's the problem that people have. Is that, as human beings, we're always hasty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this that way, that we were created with ajab. We're always, always hasty. So we just need to calm down, take calculated steps, and realize that we have a Lord that فَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا. You know, someone came to Aisha رضي الله عنها one time and said, how can I make tawbah to Allah? She said, Allah has already turned to you so that you could turn to Him.
فَتَابَ
اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا. So the fact that you're considering tawbah and that you're afraid is a sign that Allah has turned towards you and opened your heart's guidance.
SubhanAllah. You know, SubhanAllah, it makes, you know, when I was thinking about the way that we lose hope and, you know, we kind of like this defeatist mentality of, okay, I messed up, I might as well give up. It's kind of like a person who's worried about a robber, like, you know, coming and robbing their home. So, you know, you can react to that in one of two ways. And you talked about the reaction of the Salaf to the fear of hypocrisy. The reaction is, I need to secure it more. I need to work harder. And when you think about a person, you know, who's worried about someone coming and breaking in and robbing their home, it's going to encourage them to actually secure their home more. It would be pretty foolish for someone to just give up and say, well, you know what, there's no point anyways, I might as well just leave my door wide open. And of course, someone who does that is now more likely to be robbed. And that's, you know, that's exactly what we end up doing when we give up. Because we're afraid of something, we should actually, like you said, you know, the example of the Salaf, that they would work harder. If they're afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not be pleased with them, then it should encourage us to work harder. And you know, that's how the pain of you know, committing a sin is supposed to be encouraging us to actually work harder to seek His forgiveness rather than just opening the door and letting it go. And you know, I wanted to also touch upon one other aspect which you mentioned earlier, and that was the aspect of Eid being kind of something like where we just, like you said, party hard, a little too hard sometimes, where we leave this, you know, we're just yesterday we were praying, not just praying on time, but we were praying sometimes 8, sometimes 20 rak'ahs of Taraweeh / Qiyam, and then suddenly it's Eid and you know, we missed our Salah because we were, you know, partying or we were socializing and the amount of food that we eat, and you know, it kind of goes from complete, you know, self-restraint to complete indulgence, and there's this like shift. And you know, SubhanAllah, I was just reflecting on the fact that right when we wake up in the morning, and you know, it's Eid, and just even what we're told to say on our way to the Salah, and it's this concept of Allahu Akbar, right? That remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first thing in the, you know, as we're celebrating Eid, is just remembering that Allah is greater, and just remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even the fact that Eid begins with the Salah, you know, it's supposed to teach us that that the focus is still Allah, right? Even though you're gonna, after Salah, you're gonna go and you're gonna enjoy yourself, but the focus is still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is greater. Allahu Akbar.
Right. Alhamdulillah. And you know, it's funny because subhanAllah, you know, Shaykhs always say that people fight over the sunnahs of Ramadan and no one even knows the sunnahs are 8. Like,
yeah,
everyone fights over 8 or 20 or moon sighting, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
On Eid day, you know, it's like a consensus amongst the Ummah that that's just a day to party. But there are actually many established sunnahs on the day of Eid. You know, the amount of the Prophet's like, you know, eating an odd number of dates, going to the Salah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, takbirat of the day of Eid. And the takbirat actually start from the Maghrib, the eve of Eid.
Mm.
The eve of Eid, the takbirat start all the way until the Eid Salah, as Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said.
Mm.
The Prophet's like, emphasizing that you should go home with a different route than the route that you came to the Salah with. How powerful is that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that you're a changed person now. You go home with a different route than the route that you came to Salah to the Eid with. You know,
yeah.
So, I mean, and the Prophet never forgot. You know, and there's a very powerful story that, you know, once the Prophet saw a young boy. It's not authentic tradition, actually. It's not a story. I mean, he saw a young boy who was sitting sad alone on Eid, and Prophet ﷺ did not think to himself, you know, this is Eid, I've been working very hard in Ramadan, I just finished my 10 days of i'tikaf being away from my family, let me ignore him. But the Prophet ﷺ went to the young boy and actually inquired about his situation and found that, you know, the young boy's father passed away, and his mother's husband, you know, was not treating him well, and he saw the other young boys playing with their fathers, and he became sad. Rasulullah ﷺ took a proactive action. He put his arm around him and he said, how would you like that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam be your father, Aisha radiallahu anha your mother, and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha your sister? Now, subhanAllah, he didn't forget. He didn't just turn his, you know, have the blind eye turn a blind eye on that day and say it's Eid, it's time to celebrate. That shows you that we're awake on Eid. We're supposed to be thinking more. Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say, though, I mean, just to not depress people further, because let's face it, it is, you know, it is Eid, and yeah, we will celebrate. There's no doubt about it. The fact that you feel bad about not praying as much on Eid day is a good thing, because pretty soon you're not going to feel bad about it anymore, right? If you didn't do anything about it, at least you feel a little guilty on Eid. That's a good thing if you're feeling guilty and you're feeling uncomfortable with not praying Taraweeh, you're feeling uncomfortable with not being in the masjid, because hopefully then there's still, you know, your sensor is still there and you're ready to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and start being more consistent. You know, you've tasted the sweetness of it and you want to come to it consistently instead of waiting till next year of Ramadan for an opportunity that you might not even get. The problem is that, again, we'll stop feeling bad about it. You know, Eid will pass. Oh, you know, look at us today. Ramadan was so fast. You know, we've got our one-liners about Ramadan came and went so fast. And, you know, everyone talks about it, whether he had a productive Ramadan or an unproductive Ramadan. You know, wasn't Ramadan really fast? You never hear anyone say that Ramadan took forever. Ramadan was slow. You know, everyone says Ramadan was fast. It went by so quickly. But feel the sense of shame, you know, in a positive, I don't know if shame can be positive, but it's hayat. That's one of the limitations, just the translation. You know, bashfulness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, I really need to do more. You know, I really need to keep it going.
Yes.
Before you just become totally desensitized.
Yes, subhanAllah, I noticed that one of the reminders of Eid, even in, you were speaking about the sunnah of Eid, and like of even just the sunnah of which chapters of the Quran are supposed to be recited in the salah, and just reflecting on actually those ayat themselves are in and of themselves a reminder. You know, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. You know, it's Eid, and it's like, it's not a coincidence that Allah is saying to us, you're preferring the life of this world when the next life is better and more lasting, subhanAllah. Yeah, and subhanAllah, we hope that inshallah all of us continue to keep that momentum that we created, that we had, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with, rather, during the month of Ramadan. It's important that we realize that our actions, that, you know, those actions that we gave up during Ramadan and those actions which we were consistent in have a direct effect on the condition of our hearts. And if we can continue, even some portion of that, as the Sheikh mentioned, maybe making a commitment to ourselves, some of those habits that we are going to continue to do, and making a commitment to stay away from those bad habits that we had given up. I want to really thank Sheikh Omar for coming on the show. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair for having me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless your work, inshallah, and everything that you're doing, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the listeners and allow them to all, inshallah ta'ala, testify on your behalf on Yawm al-Qiyamah.
Amin ya Rabbil Alameen, and may you have the same, inshallah. Barakallah feek, and Ramadan, late Ramadan Kareem, and Eid Mubarak to you and your family, inshallah.
Barakallah.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ghuraba, ghuraba, ghuraba. Oh,